following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
The light has come. We talk about Christmas as a time of wonder and of miracles, but I wonder if we fully grasp what that actually means. Treating this a little bit as a series, not trying to manipulate you or anything, but I'm going to continue tomorrow morning. Our messages are put online at the allsaintslutheran.ca website, and I'll have that up eventually. But we're going to be looking at this passage. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be looking at the core aspect of the passage, in my opinion, core aspect, which is the Word became flesh and dwelt while among us. But we're going to look at something that comes from that, and it's the theme of light. Call this the Christmas light. I'm going to read this again, starting verse 4, John chapter 1. In him was life, and the light was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not or cannot overcome it. We know a lot more in these modern days about light than the ancients did, and it's one of the most marvelous or strangest aspects of the universe. The beginning of this passage, we're introduced to the Lord Jesus as the Word. In Greek, it's the Logos, and it's a packed, both Jewish and Greek philosophical concept. But word and communication is so central to God and to life. One of the aspects of light in the way we think of it is light enables us to see things clearly. Light also brings life. You need a special kind of light, preferably natural light, to grow things. Plants won't grow in most artificial light. It's fascinating to me to think of how the creation story begins. That the first act of God was communication. And God said, "Let there be light." In Genesis chapter 1, light is created before the sun, the moon, and the stars. And this shows us that light is a concept beyond those vehicles through which we experience light exists. It's light is something that God created. It's a concept in the universe, a dynamic in the universe, apart from that which carries physical light, the kind of light that illumines this room. The kind of light that glows from the candles. Without light, there's no life. And God begins his work of creation by speaking light into existence. Today we say darkness is the absence of light. So it's no wonder that John writes here that the darkness cannot overcome the light. We learn here that in verse 9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Enlightenment, coming into knowledge, coming into understanding, being able to negotiate the world in which we live, requires light. And that which gives human beings the ability to navigate the complicated world which we live, all comes from this one that this passage calls the Word, who we understand to be the Son of God, born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. He's the enlightener. The principle of understanding, the principle of knowledge, the ability to understand anything, according to this passage, actually has its roots in Jesus himself. And the time came 2,000 years ago where that force, that dynamic, that being entered into the physical world, born as a baby on that very special day. Human beings like to think of themselves as very knowledgeable. We have a concept called common sense. And I know people say, well, common sense isn't all that common anymore. And we look at the behavior of other people and we wonder if they possess common sense. It's very easy to make fun of people's blunders, the silly things that human beings do, the foolish things that others do, until it's us that's doing it. I believe human beings are intelligent. But on its own, human intelligence cannot thrive unless it's informed. Human beings were made unlike the other creatures on earth, with the need to be educated, the need to be taught. And it's quite something that we believe the things that we're taught. Children believe their parents until they're older and begin to question what their parents say and do. But we don't possess the kind of instincts that animals have. Human beings need to be taught, and human beings are easily deceived. We see this at the very beginning of the Bible story. God had informed our first parents how to thrive in his beautiful and good creation. But they ended up listening to another voice. They listened to somebody else's words as the serpent sought to enlighten them with a strange light, a light that was not of God. And he managed to turn the ears and the hearts and the sight of our first parents from their creator to the creation. And by partaking of the forbidden fruit, brought trouble, disease, death into the human experience. And we know, even in our own experience, that if we don't live good lives, live well-informed lives, we easily go down destructive paths. How many things do we suffer from because of our bad choices? We'll often say, oh, I should have known better, but I made these decisions for other reasons. And I know we could so easily blame other people for the things that have gone wrong in our lives. I was sharing a little bit on Sunday about my own experience growing up in a very difficult, broken home. And it took me decades to take responsibility for how I responded to my parents' bad parenting. It would be so easy even now to look back and talk about what they did and what they didn't do and what my brothers did and what they didn't do and what my aunts and uncles did and didn't do. And then I can go to the schoolyard with you and talk about the bullies and go on and on about what they did and what they didn't do. But it's our responses and our reactions to what goes on around us that takes what is happening around us and makes it our own. Our attitudes, the vows that we make. And it wasn't until the light of God burst into my life and started to show me that I could no longer blame others for what they had done to me. God had to turn me around and help me to see his light that shone down upon me and began to show me his perspective and his way at looking at life. And once I allowed myself to be corrected, and I shudder when I think of some of my own relatives who got stuck in the bitterness of their past. It's so easy when darkness begins to take hold to allow it to saturate our beings and we become stuck. King David, in I believe it's Psalm 40, talks about God coming and rescuing him from his dark, slimy pit. And the coming of Jesus is like a searchlight shining down into that place, a place where we've gotten lost in and cannot get out. And then his light comes and shines and shows us the truth. And the way to embrace God's light, the way to embrace God's truth, first and foremost, is to allow it to shine on us. What we want to do is we want to take hold of God's flashlight and shine it on all the people who have let us down. See? 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 But we will never be free until we allow God's light to shine on our hearts. See? Oh my. Oh dear. And it's a marvelous thing that when we allow the light of God to truly shine on us and expose us for what we really are, who we really are, and what we've really done, and allow our junk to come out into that light, then the life-giving power of that light begins to do its work. Yet the darkness wants us to keep on hiding and to let the effects of what the Bible calls sin. It's simply a word to describe how we mess up, missing the mark, how we fall short. Yeah, but they, and yeah, but he, and my, so easy to do, but it's a trap. And it's a trap that we can get out of. And for many people, Christmas is the worst time of year. For some of us, it's the only time we're with some of those people that we wish we could shine that light on and expose their wrongs to the world, as if that's going to give us relief. When actually, if we would allow the light of God to shine on us and help us to take ownership of what we have done and what we have thought and what we have planned and what we wished we could have done, and bring that out into the open. We live in a dark world today. There's so much information, but as far as I can tell, we've never been less informed of the truth. And yes, there really is a truth to be known. God created a world in a certain way, and it only works in the way that he says. And he's provided to us in his word how to navigate the world in which we live. The way I describe the darkness of our time, with its meaninglessness, its purposelessness, and its hopelessness, the way I really describe it is summed up in cynicism. I don't know if we've ever had an age in the history of human beings that we have been so cynical, that where we really believe that it doesn't matter what anybody does, nothing is going to get better. So why not just live it up? The effect of this cynicism has created a focus on self like we've never seen before. We're in the selfie age. I remember many years ago my eldest brother using a regular film camera, taking a picture of himself. I'd never seen that before. It was so hard to do because there was no way to look inside the viewfinder, you know what I mean. And now it's one of the predominant ways of photo kinds of photos people are taking. Photos of me. Me, 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 me. And that reflects and illustrates the time that we're in. Life is all about me. But we weren't made for me. Adam and Eve were put in the garden to take care of the garden, to take care of the planet. We were created to be stewards of planet Earth. We were made to be otherly. We were made to look away from ourselves. Not to totally neglect ourselves to our own destruction, I don't mean that, but to look beyond ourselves and see how we can serve God on planet Earth, whether that be in small ways or big ways. And there are people in this room tonight that you have been called to make a difference in the world at this time, and you have to stop playing games. You have to stop playing with toys and turn to the things that God has called you to do to make the kind of difference He wants to do through you. Let Him shine His light on you. You will never be more happy. You will never be more satisfied. You will never be as prosperous in God's version of prosperity, which is called being a blessing, as much as if you would take those steps, if you would ask God that question, what do you want me to do? And I think there are some people here tonight that even know what it is and you've been running away from it. And it's time to turn around and do the things that God has called you to do. Come out of hiding. Come out of the shadow and step in to the light of God. And He will fill you with His light, and He will clarify those things that have confused you. They've confused you because you've been unwilling. With His help, He will set you free into the very things He's calling you to do and give you everything you need to fulfill that which He has for you. Enlightenment, God's version, doesn't come about from climbing some high mountain or spending hours in meditation or doing some other great feat. True enlightenment, coming into the light of God, coming into the clarification that He wants for you, into the illumination that He has for you, starts with a relationship. The Word who became flesh 2,000 years ago, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, breaking the power of death. He wants to know you personally. And if you would ask Him to come into your life and your heart, He will instill His light in you and enable you to walk in His light. We cannot do it alone. Jesus came to rescue us. Jesus came to walk with us and do things in us and through us that we could hardly imagine. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your reality. We thank You that You created reality, that You are the author of truth, that You are the inventor of light, and that You created human beings to not only be enlightened by Your truth and Your love and Your goodness, but to be illuminaries, shining bright for You and for Your purposes in this dark world. Lord, as we light our candles in a few minutes, would You light us up to burn bright in this dark day? We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.